Now, in this lesson today, as we continue our study in John 17, we join the disciples as they listen to their Lord, as they listen to our Lord speak to his Father in the role of high priest. Jesus chose to pray to his Father publicly at this time. Many times he would be in prayer privately, but this time he chose to pray publicly for a purpose. So public prayer is important, as is private prayer. But we know from Scripture that the duties of the priest were to represent the people before God and to offer various sacrifices prescribed in the law. But Jesus Christ is the high priest of all priests. He is the ultimate priest. He is the priest that will stand before God himself at his throne and represent us. He comes to his Father on behalf of his people, but he also is the sacrifice of sacrifices. The sacrifice to end all sacrifices. He is the sacrifice that satisfies the Father. And all these things have been done for you and me, for those that the Father has given him. Now, at this time, his prayer to the Father is for his disciples and those to follow to take up the mission that he has begun. He had a mission. There was a reason why he came to the earth. And that reason was to seek and to save what? That which was lost. Isn't that a wonderful mission? Can you think of a higher mission than that, to seek and to save those that are lost? And he will, after his resurrection, instruct his disciples to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, Brian's going down to the harbor light of the Windwards. He's going to go ye into all the world and hear how the gospel is preached. Watch that, how it's done down there, how they can be reached. Going through the radio, and the radio waves and the airwaves are being used to preach the gospel. As Jesus Christ told his disciples after his resurrection. So spreading the good news of a Savior will be the task at hand for the disciples. And Jesus Christ prays that his disciples will not be taken out of the world, but that they should be kept from the evil. He's not wishing them to be taken out from the world. There's a mission to do. There's a task at hand. But he also prays that they be kept from the evil. You know, I remember early on in my Christian walk in this very church, learning this saying of Dr. Bob Jones Sr. And this saying was broadcast from this very pulpit on occasion. But he said, "Do not ask God to give you a light burden." You know, we tend to do that. "Oh Lord, lighten this burden for me," we pray, because the burden is heavy. And that's our prayer, but that's a prayer of a worldly creature who wants to, you know, the whole world is designed to lighten your burden. Did you know that? I remember my mother who washed clothes by boiling them in I don't even know what you call it anymore, but it was those oval wash tubs. I still have one at the house made out of copper. And she would put that on her kerosene stove. Kerosene stove had little kerosene containers in the back, and it dribbled kerosene into the burner. And she'd use two burners and boil the water and boil the clothes. So what does the world do? We need to lighten your load. So they come along with a washing machine, and then the washing machine, which had the rollers on the top, you'd feed the clothes in to the rollers and put them on the, then you'd have to go out and put them on the line. Remember that, ladies? With the clothes pins. And the clothes pins in those days weren't the spring loaded. They were the kind that just went over the clothes like that. I remember those things. But through the years, the load has been lifted and lightened. And now the ladies, they put the clothes in these fancy washers that light up and say, how you doing today and having a good day and so glad to wash your clothes. And you put them in there. They go around and you can't even see them going around. And then you take them out and you put them in a dryer and fold them and put them away. The world wants to lighten your load. But he said, do not ask God to give you a light burden. Ask him to give you what? Strong shoulders to carry a heavy burden. God wants us to carry a heavy burden for him as we go and preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't look for a light burden, young men, young women. Ask for big shoulders to carry a heavy burden. You know, parents, this is something you won't hear in the world, but parents, it is your duty to prepare your children for a heavy burden if you desire they participate in the gospel mission. Now, that's anti-today. I don't want my child. I want my child to have it easier than I had. That's anti-Christian. That's anti-Christian. It's Christian to prepare your child to carry a heavy burden, that they serve the Lord in the gospel mission. That's the duty of parents, biblical parents, parents that care about the Lord's work. But Jesus Christ's hour has come to return to the Father, but he knows his children have a burden to carry, and he asks the Father to provide and equip them to carry the load, for the load will be great. God equips us. God doesn't expect us to go into the fight without being equipped. Now, you folks in the military, I was in the military, and they said, Ludwig, you've got to go to Vietnam. I don't know anything about Vietnam. We'll prepare you. So I go out in the mountains of California, and I'm trudging through the mountains of California with the pack on and the rifle on and all the equipage to know how to travel in these kind of different environments and to learn how to hide and to learn how to fight and all these things so that when I go to Vietnam, I'm prepared. Now, I didn't fight. Engineers don't fight, they build. I was sent there to build, but I had my little 45 on my side in my holster. That's what you call it, a holster. I don't know if I could ever use it. But the military prepared me for what I was to do. So Jesus Christ asks that his disciples be prepared for the heavy burden. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ equips you to carry the burden? So he asks in John 17:17, sanctify, there's a big word, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Oh, when Jesus Christ speaks, he doesn't speak, you know, this prayer, if you recite this prayer, is about 3 minutes. It's a public prayer, about 3 minutes. He doesn't go on and on and on and on. He speaks so wonderfully in very few words, does he not? So Jesus Christ, after teaching his disciples for 3 years, now sends them into the world, a world of evil. Now, if you don't think the world is a world of evil, you're living in some dream world. You're living in dream world. You're living in Disney World if you don't think this is a world of evil. Get into the Word. Look around. And you'll know that that's true. But he sends them into a world of evil to occupy till I come. He's got a task for them. He's got duties for them. He has things to do for them. He asks that they be kept from the evil, and he brings into light how the Father will do such a thing. He doesn't only pray for them to be kept from the evil, but he asks the Father to equip them to prepare for the evil. For he brings to mind an act of God called sanctification, which means the act of making one holy. Do you know that God wants you to be holy? Oh, I could never be holy. No, you can't be holy on your own. You don't have it within you to be holy, but God has it within him to make you holy, and that's the act of sanctification. Or separated for God's use by what? By this book. By the Word of God. This separates you for God's purposes and equips you for God's use and work in the spreading of the gospel. You want to spread the gospel? You do it by the power of God's what? Word. It's so simple. It's not complicated. So in his prayer, he brings to mind God's truth as the separating force. You are to be separated from the world. How do you do that? Through the Word of God. God's Word is the sanctifying force. By His Word, He sets His own apart for Himself and for His service. By God's Word. That's nothing new to you, but perhaps it could be a new vision for you. He consecrates them for the task he entrusts to them. His word will provide the inward purification. You know, we're in a purification process. When I went from being a sinner, undone, walking in the world, to being born again into the family of God, there was a major change that took place in my life. Old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Did you find that to be true in your life? Those that are saved, those that know Christ, did you find that to be true in your life? Old things are passed away. All things are become new. If you haven't found that to be true in your life, you're not saved. It's a new birth. It's a new birth. Just think about that. His word then will provide the inward purification and will endow them with all the resources they need to carry out that task. You know, I think about Moses. He was in the desert for 40 years tending the animals. God called upon him to do something for him. Oh, Moses said, I can't do that. I can't. Moses was thinking about himself. He wasn't thinking about the power of God's word. He was thinking about himself. You've got to get out of that and think about the power of God's word. It's not about you. It's about God. So he endows us with the resources that we need to carry out the task. The word of God is practical in that if it is obeyed, its truths will keep you from evil. You know, I think back on my own life. And had I not been saved, where would I be today? Where would my children be today? Where would my wife be today? She'd say, hit the road. I can't stand you anymore. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe she's got more grit than that. But things would be different. God's word is practical, and it brought me into a world of wisdom. You look at the practical lessons from the book of Proverbs that make one wise. You know, if you're wise, that'll keep you from the evil. And to make one wise is to make right choices. And those right choices will keep you from evil as you perform the will of God. You won't be out on the street at 2 a.m. liquored up, walking along the highway and get hit by a car and go to hell. You won't do it. I read about those. It's amazing. In Pensacola, every week there are people that are killed on the road at 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Walking alongside the road, can't get across the road, and killed, and their eternity is decided. Brings you to weeping for those folks. But it keeps you from evil as you perform the will of God. The word of God is light. Did you turn on the light this morning? Got out of bed and wiped your eyes and dim light, go in the bathroom and you turn on the light. Why'd you turn on the light? So I could see. Well, why don't you turn on the light of the Word of God so you can see, is the message of the gospel. The Word of God is light. And light allows you to see the evil and depart from the evil, making right choices. Now, don't you want your children to make right choices? Or do you want them to go down the road toward evil? So by saying, sanctify them through thy truth, Jesus Christ is not performing some mystical activity, some instant magic. But he knows that the practical outworking of his word in the life of the believer will keep the believer from evil. You know, why do we have Santa Rosa Christian School? This is part of sanctifying them through the truth. Christian parents want their children to be taught in the word that they might be separated from the world and sanctified through the truth. So it all fits together. But he also sets them apart for his blessing. You know, it rained last night. Wow, did it rain? Phil is saying, amen. Amen. I don't have to go out and say hello to all my plants and water them. God said hello to your plants last night, and he watered them. But he watered them a lot more efficiently than you, didn't he? And he gave you that good water from above. But you know, God blesses the world. He blessed all of the folks in this area with rain last night, whether they be sinners or saints. But the blessings that he gives only to those who are sanctified are spiritual blessings. The world cannot know spiritual blessings. Oh, how we get those spiritual blessings. Isn't it amazing how God communicates to those His own spiritual blessings, and the world can't know them. They can't know them. They maybe see the outworking of them and the product of them, but they can't know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. So the end of God's truth. This is where He's going with this when He says, sanctify them through thy truth. The end of God's truth is holiness. Sanctification. Separation unto Him and separation from the world. This is the Christian's destination. When we're before the throne, we'll be holy. We'll be sanctified. We'll be set apart. And God is doing that in our lives to keep us from the evil one. So far as the child of God walks according to God's word, shall he be kept from evil. You want to know how to be kept from evil? Walk according to God's word. God's word sanctifies those who obey it. God's word is the believer's only safety. What does the Bible say about that? Safety is of what? The Lord. There is nothing else to cling to. You know, that song came to me when I was doing this lesson, and the song was, "My hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sins at Calvary." So my hope is in the Lord. I have no other hope. You know, I've put all of my, let's see, there's kind of a gambler's word for this. I've put all of my, what?
Chips.
I hate to use that. Forgive me for using that, Pastor. But I've had all my chips and I put them in the pot of Jesus Christ. My hope is in the Lord who died for me.
All in.
I'm all in. I'm all in. I haven't kept anything back. I've got nothing left. I didn't say, well, maybe if it doesn't work out, I've got something left, but I put it all in for Jesus Christ. All the eggs. I put them all in, Pastor. I put them all in, Paul and Beth and Bill. Did you put them all in? Put them all in the basket. But you know, you stray from God's word, and the believer is nearer the evil. That's an amazing thing. You walk that narrow way. And you walk that narrow way by staying in the Word of God. But boy, you stray from the Word of God. You're getting on the edges. You're getting near the evil. So God provides and equips those who are His to do His will regardless of the evil of this world. You know, so you say as a new Christian, here am I, Lord, send me, but I've got conditions. I don't like outhouses. I like the modern conveniences. Could you send me to a big city so I can have the modern convenience? I don't want to go to the jungle. Oh, more evil there. No, that's not the kind of prayer that you bring to the Lord with conditions. God equips you to do His will regardless of where that will leads you. You know, the Fitzgeralds, I like to read of the Fitzgeralds in there, and they have some troubles lately about that river coming in near their house and washing their house that they've labored in to build, and now they're looking for a church and so on so that they can conduct the river ministry. And I picture him going down the river from village to village to village. Oh, there's a lot of evil down there. How does he feel about it? Well, he says, God equips me for the task. So Jesus continues to speak to his Father as his disciples intently listen. For this is recorded in verse 18. He says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. The Father had established the pattern of sending. Aren't you glad that God has established this pattern of sending? You know, I wouldn't know anything had he not established this pattern of sending. And Jesus Christ, in sending his own into the world, was following that pattern. Jesus Christ was sent to the world by the Father. And therefore, Jesus was returning to the Father, and he says, I'm sending you into the world. So this pattern is in us. If you are a believer, you are a sent one. In the same pattern that the Father established with his Son, you may be sent to your neighborhood. You may be sent to your workplace. You may be sent to the grocery store as you pass through the grocery store and there's a word of witness to the cashier or the one working in the vegetables. You may be sent across the street to see that new neighbor that came in. I have a new neighbor in my area and I talk to him and pray for him. I have an opportunity to witness to a new neighbor. Came from Minnesota, one of my people. No, he said he's not Norwegian. So I kind of backed away. No. But he's a new neighbor, and maybe the Lord has sent me to see him and to win him to the Lord, or at least witness to him. So even as the Lord Jesus Christ lived on earth to represent the Father, so we now live on earth to represent Christ. You see the pattern? Christ was sent to reveal the Father, to show forth his glory, and so believers are sent forth to show Christ's glory, which is the glory of the Father. See the pattern? That's the pattern. That's the gospel pattern that we're given. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Are you left out of that as a believer? No. That's part of our duties as being a sent one. He was sent to seek and to save that which was lost, and we are to join in that effort by pointing the lost to Jesus Christ. Father, we are thankful. How thankful that we are saved. What a wonderful place to be in. What a wonderful position to be in. Lord, we don't have to walk in fear. We don't have to think about what will happen if something happens. We don't have to think that way. For we know that Jesus never fails, and that we are in his hands and he is in the Father's hands. What a wonderful, secure place to be, a place of safety. Do bless us, Father, as we go to our service. Bless our pastor as he suffers from this strep throat, and bless his wife as she suffers from this leg problem. Guide and lead, Father, in all of our lives. May we be able to have broad shoulders to carry a heavy burden, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.